This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hello and welcome to the Rachel Zimmerman Show. Thanks for listening to KMOX. If you miss any part of today's show, don't forget that you can always podcast the show. I have quite a few podcast downloads, so thank you to everyone who downloads the podcast. It makes me feel really good. You can also listen on the Odyssey app, which is great because you can pause, you can rewind, you can listen to shows that aren't even on KMOX. But the best part is, if you're in an area that doesn't have a great radio signal, you are going to get crystal clear signal with the Odyssey app. It's really, really nice. So today I have two great guests for the Rachel Zimmerman Show. My first guest is Chuck Summers. He's a Democratic candidate running for Congress in the 2nd District. We have a really nice conversation in the next segment. And then after that, I'm going to talk to Tracy Rumpf. She is with Second Chance Ranch, which is an animal shelter that helps senior dogs. And she has a new project called Dognity that she's going to tell us all about. It's really cool stuff. I hope you listen in. Again, if you miss any part of the show, just podcast us. And I'll be right back with Chuck Summers. You're listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Chuck Summers is a Democrat running for the 2nd Congressional District here in Missouri. Chuck, thank you so much for making it down to the KMOX studios. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk about my campaign.
Yeah, so you had reached out after I had Ray Hartman on in the program, so you guys will be primarying each other.
Yes.
Ray is a pretty known quantity in St. Louis. I want to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself to the KMOX audience. Tell me a little bit about your background.
I appreciate that. So I come from a union background. My father was the business manager of the Plumbers Local, and my mother was heavily involved in politics, Democratic politics. I think that's where I get my interest from. And back in 2001, we had people over to the house all the time from the Democratic Party. And I had somebody recruit me to run. But unfortunately for me, just like the country, it was a bad year. I lost my father. My mother had a major heart attack. I was recently divorced with two little ones. So I put my political aspirations on the back burner and moved in with my mother to help take care of her and focused on raising my children. So fast forward 20 years later, my son took my spot at the company that I worked for over 20 years, and he's running all their high-profile jobs. I was a union plumber. And he mentors young men through his church. His wife works and donates her time at the Rocky Creek Youth Ranch. And my daughter is a Navy veteran, a police officer, just completed her master's degree in clinical psychology, and her husband is a Special Forces Marine Raider. So their service to the country pretty much inspired me to run, and I'm basically following the advice that I gave them to, you know, go for your dreams and pursue everything that you want to do. I did what I had to do for over 30 years to raise my family and secure myself a retirement so I can have the opportunity to do this. And now I'm doing something that I want to do and I'm passionate about, and that's running for office, and that's working to represent working class people.
Yeah, you talk about representing working class people. You sound like a classic Democrat.
Yeah.
The Democratic Party has kind of splintered in the past couple of years. We have a more progressive wing. Am I accurate in saying that you're a classic Democrat?
Absolutely. I would consider myself a moderate Democrat.
Very nice.
Yeah.
What motivated you to run for Congress in 2024?
So in 2022, I lost my mother to COVID.
Okay.
And she didn't get vaccinated. Now, I come from a family of seven, and we had all of our vaccinations as a kid. But the lies and misinformation that's coming across media poisoned her on getting vaccinated, and she didn't. So I lost her in 2022. And at that time, I told myself that I had to get off the sidelines and I had to step in and do something. And that's one of the major policies that I'd like to address when I do get to Congress is regulations on social media. Because right now it's the wild, wild west. I mean, you know that you can't go on the air and you can't lie.
Mm-hmm.
You're held to a certain standard. Well, everybody should be held to that standard. And I truly believe that.
Well, Chuck, I'm sorry for your loss. That's terrible. Besides addressing misinformation on social media, what are your other top policies priorities if you're elected?
The big one is codifying Roe. I don't think women's health care should be regulated whatsoever. And you can see the insanity that's broke out across the country since then. You know, we have women that are being forced to carry, you know, dead fetuses. You know, that's not only putting the reproductive abilities in jeopardy, but it's putting their lives in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. You have women that are being flown by helicopter to another state to perform an emergency abortion because the laws that have been passed since the overturn of Roe, you know, won't let them do it in that state. So that's the biggie. And then another one is middle class tax cuts. You know, Republicans have been transferring wealth from working class people to the rich for, you know, since Reagan. And I want to go up there and I want to get middle class tax cuts, you know, for working class people. And then the last one would be addressing climate change and extreme weather events. And we're rebuilding our infrastructure, but we need to rebuild it back so we address the problems that are going to be coming in the future. Because right now our government is reactive and we need to be proactive, because when you're reactive, you basically you waste the money because of all the damages, and then you don't you have to pay the money to fix that. Whereas if you actually build your infrastructure to be ready for it, then you're saving money and you're saving lives. It's like a win-win.
Let's talk a little bit about the presidential election in 2024. How do you feel about President Biden? How do you feel about his chances to win again?
I think Biden's doing a great job. He's had an historic presidency. The major legislation that he has passed is not only rebuilding our infrastructure, but it's rebuilding the middle class. You know, he's the first president, you know, in my lifetime that's been on a union picket line with the members. He talks about wanting to regrow unions because they are the middle class. They built this country and they built the middle class. And his infrastructure, the CHIPS and Science Act, the PACT Act that takes care of veterans, I just think he needs to explain what he has been doing to help people. And I think he's got a great chance to win. I think Democrats have got a great chance to win.
Yeah, you mentioned the unions. You are a former union plumber for over 30 years.
Yes.
Take a minute and just expand on how important unions are to our country.
Oh, unions are absolutely important because, like I said, they not only built this country, but they built the middle class. And, you know, I'm fortunate that I'm going to have a nice retirement because of my union membership. There's a whole generation of people coming up that it's not going to have health care. They're not going to have retirement. And that's one of the things that we're going to have to address, because it's a whole generation of people that's not going to have that safety net. And then on top of that, you have Republicans that want to go after Social Security and Medicare. So they want to reduce the safety net at a time when we're going to have a whole generation that's going to need it. So that needs to be addressed, too.
Chuck, how would you describe your leadership style, and how do you think it would fit in or stand out in Congress once you're there?
So my leadership style is I come from an industry where it is results driven. You know, you were on a time schedule on every job that I was in, and I always brought my jobs in on time because I can work well with other people and I can work well within the rules. And that's the kind of mentality that's not in Washington right now, and that's the kind of mentality that I will take there with me. You know, I've worked paycheck to paycheck. I've had to juggle bills to meet the budget. That's a perspective that's not in Washington right now, and that's a perspective that I will take with me. And that's how I'm going to go there and represent working class people.
I'm talking to Chuck Summers. He's running for the 2nd Congressional District here in Missouri as a Democrat. You just said that you work well with people. Leads into my next question. Given how polarized politics have become, what's your plan to foster bipartisan cooperation in Congress?
So most of the issues that are facing us, there is low-hanging fruit where there is, you know, common acceptance on these things. And people up there right now want 100% or nothing. If there is anything that will help working class people, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, I will support that. And I will do everything I can to get it implemented. And I think we need more people that are going to do that. I'm going up as a Democrat, but I'm going up to represent working class people. So that is my priority, and that's my first interest.
Chuck, what you're saying makes so much sense. I feel like it was a lot more common 20 years ago. Do you feel
Absolutely.
Like people are afraid to be moderate in this day and age?
Oh, I think it's definitely, and I think it goes right back to what we kind of started with social media, because if you go against the flow whatsoever, they're going to hang you out to dry and they're going to crucify you. Well, I think I can stand on principle, and I'll stand on my beliefs and then just let the chips fall where they may. As long as you're doing the right thing for the right reason, there shouldn't be any reason to back down.
Besides, you know, social media and how divided we are, is there anything else about modern politics that troubles you? And if so, how do you plan to address that once you're elected?
The biggest thing that troubles me is, like we talked about, the lies and misinformation. You know, people should not be allowed to lie and spread false information. I mean, we have a standard where people, you know, what we know what the truth is. If you can say it, if you can't say it in front of a judge under oath, then you shouldn't be allowed to say it on air. And I think that's the standard that we need to bring back, because right now the lies and misinformation is what's causing the division in our country. And it's on false pretenses. That's the worst part about it. And I found a lot of this out. I worked for a company for 20 years and I quit them, and I went back to the hall and I said, put me out on the job. I want to go out on the job and I want to talk with, you know, construction workers on the job about politics and about the election. And I found with them that a lot of their talking points, they were coming back, just had no basis. It was stuff they were picking up on right-wing media, and it was lies and misinformation. And when I actually sat down and had the conversations and, you know, got the facts out there and we had a good conversation about the facts, then I gained support and support for my campaign. So I think a lot of it's just having the conversation and getting the truth out there and the facts.
Chuck, how concerned are you about the rise of AI and the fact that people will be able to manipulate images and audio and tell all sorts of lies from there?
Well, see, that's another biggie, and that's another reason why we need regulation. They haven't done anything for regulation since 1996 on social media. And you think about how much it has actually changed since then. I mean, it's just one extreme to the other. So, yeah, AI, that's coming. And AI, automation, and extreme weather events, those are the three biggie that we're going to have to be concerned about. And the problem with Republicans now is we're rehashing settled law from like 1970, and in some cases 1864, you know, to regulate women's health care, while we're ignoring, you know, the extreme dangers that are headed straight at us.
Let's talk a little bit about Ann Wagner. She's held this seat that you're running for over a decade now.
Yes.
What about her run has frustrated you? What has she gotten wrong? And has she gotten anything right in her 10 plus years in Congress?
So she has gotten absolutely nothing right. And that's why she will not debate an opponent. She will not go to a town hall. Her only legislative accomplishment was the 2017 tax cuts, which that was a transfer of wealth from working class people to the rich. And that's why she won't see anybody. So Ann needs to be held accountable, and she needs to be held accountable for her record. And right now she's not being held accountable. So, she has done nothing for the people of CD2. And she needs to go.
Chuck, how do you plan to stay connected to your constituents if you're elected? How do you plan to keep a dialogue going with them as you're in Congress?
So they'll be able to get a hold of me anytime on social media, and it won't be an assistant. I will answer the calls and have those conversations with the people. I love town halls because I like talking policy. So, and I love having conversations with the people. I mean, that's the only way you get a gauge on what is needed in the community, is to actually have those conversations. And I will be available. Like I said, I love having those conversations, and I love talking to the people, and I like policy. So that'd be no problem at all.
Chuck Summers, if you could have dinner with anyone living or dead, who would it be?
It'd be Barack Obama.
Okay.
I was a big fan of Barack Obama. I worked on both of his campaigns to get him elected. And I thought he was one of the best presidents in our lifetime until Biden. I'll tell you what, and people are going to kind of chuckle about that, but he has passed historic legislation, bipartisan historic legislation, and worked across the aisle to try and get things done for working class people. And he's gotten a lot accomplished. So Barack would be the first one. But after that would be Biden.
Do you plan on, it's refreshing how much you support Biden, because I think it's popular to kind of turn your back and be like, oh, he's struggling, this and that. Do you plan to like knock on doors for Biden this
Absolutely.
Fall?
I'll work for his campaign. I'm going to work for his campaign and my campaign. Actually, I want to work for all Democrats, because I think we have a platform. We have a platform that's going to help people, and the Republicans don't. And they don't have that platform, so what they turn to is they turn to culture wars instead of, you know, actually policy. So, yeah, I'm going to work for Biden, I'm going to work for myself, and I'm going to work to get Democrats across the finish line, because that's how we can affect real change.
Speaking of the culture wars, I feel like the intention behind that is to drag you down into the mud with, you know, how do you plan on staying above the fray there?
So it's a distraction, and it's the old saying, you know, if you waller in the mud with the pigs, you know, everybody's going to get dirty, and I don't want to be part of that. I want to stick to the facts and the issues, and because I'm on the winning side of the history. I'm on the winning side of the argument. So as long as we stay to the facts and issues, I will not be distracted and get down to the mud and roll around with the pigs.
All right, Chuck, how do you feel about the governor's race this year?
So I'm supporting Crystal Quaid because she has a vision for Missouri that is that aligns with my vision, that represents working class people. And I think that's what we need in this state. You can see the insanity on the Republican side where they're taking flame torches to burn books. And that's all goes back to what we were talking about earlier, the culture war, and it's a distraction. And we need people that are going to actually focus on what's going to help working class people. And that's Crystal Quaid and Democrats. So, you know, that and right to work. I just got a mailing in my mail the other day about supporting right to work, which, you know, I talked to my union brothers and sisters, you know, and they think that we defeated it years ago, that it's not coming back. Well, it's not going anywhere. And that's why we need union representation, because we need to defeat right to work, because that takes money straight out of your pocket. You know, if right to work passed, you know, that's almost $9,000 that's going to come straight out of your pocket. So we need to focus on getting Democrats so we can put right to work to bed for real and get rid of it, so we can support working class families, which is union families, and that helps everybody.
All right. So if people want to learn more, they can go to summersforcongress.com, at Summers for Congress on X, formerly known as Twitter, and Summers for Congress on Facebook. Chuck, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure to get to know you, and good luck.
Thank you for having me, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about my campaign.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. My next guest is Tracy Rumpf. She runs Second Chance Ranch, which is an animal shelter that specializes in senior dog adoption. She also has a new project called Dognity, which we're going to talk about within the course of this interview. But first of all, Tracy, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
So let's get started by telling me about your background and how you became involved with helping animals.
Yes. So about 12 years ago, gosh, I've been in rescue now for 12 years. And before I was getting ready, it was a few years before I was turning 50. And I kind of asked myself, you know, am I living my intentional life? Am I living my purpose? And I think everyone has those thoughts at one point or another. And a few months later, a friend of mine who had been in rescue just happened to post on Facebook that there was a dog, a puppy in Poplar Bluff who had been thrown in a trash can, had mange, and needed to get to St. Louis. And I was able to drive down there and pick the puppy up. And she was as sweet as can be, but very sick. And my instructions were to take her to the vet. And I did. And that was kind of my first transport. And a few months later, I received an email from a family who I didn't know who had actually adopted her. And they sent me videos and pictures of her playing with their kids. And she looked like a completely different dog. And she was so happy. And I was hooked. I thought, oh my gosh, I was a part of helping save this sweet dog. And now she's a part of a great family and is so loved and giving so much love. And I just knew that I had to do more.
Yeah, Tracy, just kind of anecdotally from my own life, I know so many people who work with animal rescue, and it's just what you described. They do it once, and it's so rewarding and so incredible that they just keep doing it over and over again.
I don't think that a lot of people, I hate to make these sweeping generalizations, but I didn't know. I had always had dogs growing up and, you know, considered myself a dog lover. But I didn't know how many dogs needed help, right. You know, who, how many dogs are on the side of the road? How many pregnant moms, you know, ready to have babies are strays? They're starving. I mean, you name it. And I had no idea until I got into rescue. And it's really been a calling for me.
So you run an animal shelter, and I know you also work closely with other shelters in the area. Let's talk about the current state of shelters here in Missouri.
Crisis mode is how I would describe it in two words. It's hard for me to comprehend the amount of dogs that are currently sitting in shelters, animal controls, not only throughout this state, but throughout the country. It is truly in a crisis situation. And I have friends who run rescues. One is in Northern California, one is in Dallas. And we talk, and they are so overwhelmed. And the rescuers here, everyone is kind of beaten down right now, really broken, because every time they feel like they take one step forward, they take two steps back, and the dogs just keep coming. It's really very, very sad.
Yeah, that sounds like an incredible amount of pressure that these shelters are under. What are some of the biggest challenges, besides overcrowding, that shelters face when caring for these dogs?
Yeah, it's space, obviously. It's money. You know, there are a lot of big rescues who still spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on vetting every year, if not more. But then you have these smaller rescues who are foster-based. So they may not necessarily have a physical shelter, but they are foster-based. And, you know, when they are helping a dog, they find a foster, they help then supply food and vetting and meds and everything like that. It's really most everyone that I know that is in rescue right now, they are drowning in vet bills. Mm. And, you know, constantly having to be in fundraising mode, but also have to go pick up and transport a dog who's been shot in, you know, a rural area. I mean, it's pretty crazy. It really is. And, you know, volunteers are awesome. They always need more volunteers. Every rescue needs more volunteers. And, you know, it's just, but again, to what your point earlier, it's just the space. I think that right now, I think I heard the statistic that the APA right now is over their limit. They're 200 dogs over what they can successfully house.
I'm talking to, Tracy. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm talking to Tracy Rumpf from Second Chance Ranch. It does seem like if people would just spay and neuter their animals, that would help so much. Tell me about that.
It is imperative that we figure out a solution for that, right? So that is a huge problem. People just don't spay and neuter. There are programs like Carol House Quick Fix, clinic, and, you know, Carol House and Brooke and Amy Dubin do a great job of trying to get the word out. But, you know, if they're only one, you know, one group, I think they have one maybe in Rolla or I'm not sure what other city, but we need more spay and neuter clinics and programs. And, you know, I don't know. I'm assuming that some of the reason is the cost. Right. Vetting has gone up, but understandably, everything has gone up in price. And so we have to figure out whether it's, you know, state funded or I'm not sure what that looks like. But it is imperative that we figure out more spay and neuter programs and educating the public that if you do not spay your female dog, she has a much larger chance of getting mammary cancer or uterine cancer or pyometra. If you don't neuter your male dog, he has a much higher chance of getting prostate or testicular cancer or tumors. We had a little dog, Thatcher, who's actually getting adopted tomorrow, and he was sitting in a rural animal control in January, and they contacted me and said he has this huge tumor on his bottom that had ulcerated. More than likely, he had been dumped because the family just realized that they couldn't afford to care for him. And he sat there for 9 days, no medical treatment. Mm. And they said he's going to die if somebody doesn't pull him. And he's a little shih tzu. Oh, he is a gem. But when he came to us, he was so broken. He was so sick. And we immediately got him to Mizzou. He had surgery. He's done chemotherapy. He's gotten a clean bill of health. He is a completely different dog, but he was not neutered. And what I learned from the vets at Mizzou is that the levels of testosterone in his system fed this tumor.
Wow.
So, you know, but I didn't know that, right? I know to spay and neuter, but I didn't know those intricacies. So it's so important to educate people that if they love their dog, they need to spay or neuter them for their health, not just from, you know, very important to keep from pregnancies, but also for their health.
Absolutely. Tracy, what about, I'm sure there are people listening now who are like, yeah, I would love to help out with a shelter, but I've always wanted a purebred dog. What do you say to those people?
Yeah. I say that 25% of the dogs in shelters and animal controls are purebreds. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I see on my social media pages every day, and people are constantly sending to me, can you help? Can you help? Can you help? Can you help me find a foster? German Shepherds, Yorkies, even Doodles, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah, not that Doodles are not a purebred, by the way, just so people know. but, you know, it's amazing. You can find those dogs, 25%. And I think that sometimes people have life changes where they you know, buy a dog or get a dog and then something doesn't work out. I've always been that person where once I adopt a dog, they're part of my life for the rest of their life. And, you know, so you figure it out, right? You figure out the solutions. But it's amazing. I beg people, please do not go buy a dog from Petland. Please do not do that. I can find you a Cocker Spaniel or, you know, whatever type of dog you're looking for. I promise you, I can find you that dog in a shelter.
Tracy, tell me a little bit about, since you do, you know, Second Chance Ranch does specialize in senior dog adoption. Tell me a little bit about these sick and senior dogs, the challenges that come with helping them and the rewards that come with helping them.
Yes. You know, we really live in a disposable world. If something we have is a little too old or a little too worn, you know, we live in that world where, well, we'll just go get something newer and shinier. And one of the things that I noticed after I had been in rescue for a few years was that there were a lot of senior dogs in rescue, a lot in animal control. And I'll never forget when I got a call probably 6 years ago about a senior dog who had been surrendered right at Christmas time, 2 weeks before Christmas, to make room for the Christmas puppy.
Oh.
And that broke my heart. And I, at that point, said one day I want to have a home where senior dogs who are in that situation, or, you know, we do have a lot of owners who either pass away and the family can't take care of them, or they have, you know, dogs of their own, or the owner has to go into assisted living and can't take their dog. And that's a heartbreaking situation because they still want their dog. You know, and the dog, when they come to us, they miss their owner. And it's really heartbreaking. But that is kind of where we are with senior dogs, is a lot of them are turned into animal control or, you know, rehomed or want a rescue to take them because their back legs don't work as well. and they can't do stairs as well as they used to. And, you know, we've taken in so many dogs that have had quite a few medical issues, and we've gotten them the proper care. We've gotten them on the correct medicine and supplements and laser treatments and water therapy and you name it. And we've gotten them healthier to the point that they can be adopted. And part of our mission is to bring these dogs in who have either never had a home and been treated horribly or had a home and lost their home, and get them healthy and get them adopted. And our adoption rate is about 80%.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break. But when I come back, more with my conversation with Tracy Rumpf on The Rachel Zimmerman Show. Tracy, let's talk about Dognity. What's your mission with this project?
So rescue is a Band-Aid. It is truly a Band-Aid on the situation and the crisis that we are in with rescue right now. And in talking again with other rescuers, you know, we all realize that something has to be done. And again, education is key. Educating the public about 10,000 dogs will be euthanized today in this country. Every 13 seconds, a dog is euthanized in this country. Millions, several million dogs in 2024 will be euthanized. Healthy, young, purebred dogs and mixed dogs and terriers and all sorts. It's, you know, especially when you're looking at like animal controls or shelters in big cities, it's a numbers game. So if they're overloaded and they're over capacity, the dogs that have been there the longest, regardless of, well, seniors always go first typically. So the older dogs always go first. And then it doesn't matter really what kind of dog it is. What if it could be a puppy? It could be a one-year-old beautiful German Shepherd. They then are you know, it's a numbers game that they're then euthanized.
So,
and yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, please go ahead.
I was just gonna say, and to me, it's completely unacceptable that in this state and in this country that this is happening every day.
So with Dognity, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have this merchandise, you have these t-shirts that people can purchase, and
yes,
they can select where their money's going, what shelter is going to benefit from their purchase, correct?
Correct. So I came up with the word Dognity popped in my head about a year ago. And I was thinking about words that describe how we should care for dogs: love, care, respect, dignity. And then I said, oh, Dognity, you know, and I don't know how my brain works, but I thought that's kind of a fun word and unique and, you know, will catch someone's attention. And so created the definition and created a t-shirt that, and sweatshirts and long sleeve shirts. And, you know, this is really starting out a grassroots, you know, we're starting out in the summer with t-shirts. And I want to, along with this, the Dognity movement, to educate the public and really try to put pressure, if you will, on state governments and, you know, the country, really, government, to give dogs more dignity and educate, but also to help rescues who are, again, drowning in debt from vet bills and food and medicines. And so we are starting out, and really any rescue who wants to do this, we're not picking and choosing. We're saying, hey, you want to join us? You want to get this word out? You want to be a part of the Dognity movement? We want to make Dognity a household word. So when somebody sees it, they know, okay, that there's a dog lover. And yes, you're correct, we do need to give them love, care, and respect. And so part of the profits, before, when someone goes on to the Dognity website and wants to order a t-shirt, and eventually we're going to have more merchandise, mugs and candles and sweatshirts and bags and you name it. But I've always believed that you kind of have to start out small and grow. And so when they go to check out, they have to pick a rescue that part of their, the profits from the shirt or whatever item that they're buying goes to that rescue.
That's very. I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off. Please go ahead.
You're okay. I talk a lot. I'm sorry.
Not at all.
And so then at the end of that month, we'll send that rescue a check. And the rest of the money of the, you know, of the purchase of the items, we plan to start doing some rural spay and neuter programs. We're going to start here in Missouri because we're local. And I know the rescuers in Southeast Missouri and Northeast Missouri and Northwest and Southwest. And we're really going to do it grassroots. We're talking with veterinarians in all of those areas and talking to the rescuers and saying, hey, you know, the people, your boots on the ground there, you know, the people whose dog keeps getting pregnant every 6 months. We need to go to them. Maybe they cannot afford it. And we need to say, hey, we want to help you. We will pay for your dog to get spayed. We will pick your dog up. We'll take it to the vet. We'll bring your dog back. No excuses. And this is going to be a little bit more of a process, but when I set my mind to something, I kind of go for it. And so we're working on that and really starting in Southeast Missouri because my cousin is a vet in Southeast Missouri and he's all on board. And so many vets that I've talked to are excited about it. So
very nice. Tracy, thank you so much for what you do. And not only is the Dognity purchase going to a very worthy cause, it also would make a great gift for any dog lover in your life.
In the Dognity package, like if you do order a shirt for a friend who's a dog lover, in that packet is there's marketing material and it's educational pieces about the dogs and spaying and neutering and all of those sorts of things. And so again, education is key to, you know, tell the public, adopt, please don't shop for your dogs. You know, please adopt or rescue. That rescue dogs are not broken dogs. They've just been let down by humans. And they are so grateful when they are adopted. I've seen it over and over and over again. And so if we can just push that message out to everywhere, you know, every corner of this country, I think we can slowly start seeing some changes.
That website is dognity.dog. That's dognity.dog. Tracy, thank you so much for joining me today. I can't thank you enough.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful.
All right, guys, thanks for listening this week. I'll talk to you next week. I have a great guest. It's Chris Ronji. You know him. It's going to be a fun episode. So I'll talk to you then. Have an amazing weekend. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.